You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Now, it's time for another go-round of Dr. Simon Says, and with us is Dr. Simon himself joining us here in studio, and let me turn on the correct microphone. All right, there we go, and good morning to you.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Good to have you back. We're going to spend some time today talking about diabetic retinopathy, and the fact that I remembered that topic from 2 weeks ago is kind of astonishing to me. There's still some brain cells that are working up here.
Perfect.
Obviously, it involves people who have diabetes. Beyond that, I have no knowledge, so tell me more.
Well, now, diabetic retinopathy is an important topic to talk about. There are obviously a good number of the people in our community that have diabetes, and oftentimes it's well-controlled. Their blood sugars are doing okay. Oftentimes it's not well-controlled. They're either not controlling their diet, or just maybe the medications aren't perfect for them. In either case, and even if they do have good blood sugar control, it's important that they get frequent eye exams, and at least once a year, even if you have nothing bad going on with the eyes. But the importance is there are things that can slowly build up in the eye, processes that can occur that can actually cause blindness, and diabetes is the world's most common cause of blindness, new onset blindness. And so it's important to get those exams and to be able to identify things early. One of the really exciting things about ophthalmology, about my field, is I can see things going on in the eyeball as they're happening. I can see blood pumping through the blood vessels. I can see sometimes little bruises, little areas where the blood vessels aren't functioning properly. I can see swelling inside the eye. I can see things, and any eye doctor can see things typically before the patient would notice any issues with their vision. And we can basically stop the process or at least slow down the process by changing medication, sometimes giving the patient a medicine in the eye. Again, that's a diabetic retinopathy is an exciting field recently, because in the old days, and I'll say old days are 10 years ago maybe, in the old days we couldn't do what we could do now. So there are oftentimes changes that diabetics would go through and start to lose vision, and they would require some major laser type surgeries to repair the damage or to try to reverse the issue. Now, many times by just using a medication in the eye, we can prevent and reverse many of these changes. So it is an exciting field.
So it's a factor of blood flow.
So diabetes, basically the most simple way of thinking about what diabetes does to the body and not just the eyeball. And again, the eyeball is just sort of a window of what's happening in the body, because it's the only place really in the body where we can look inside an organ while the patient's alive and see things functioning. But what happens in diabetes throughout the body is the blood vessels get leaky, and there are certain changes that we know do occur with the lining of our blood vessels, and it has to do with high blood sugar. So the actual sugar in the blood is affecting those cells that line the blood vessels, and you can think of it as sort of eroding, if you will, or just changing the architecture of those blood vessels, and your blood vessels, instead of being that perfect conduit or hose that brings the fluid from one place to another, it becomes they become something like a seeper, the thing we use in the garden to just kind of let the water go through the lining of the hose. So the blood vessels actually become leaky, and as a result, the blood flow doesn't get to where it needs to go in our end organs. And when we talk about end organs and diabetes, we talk about kidneys, we talk about the retinas, the eyeballs, we talk about the peripheral nerves in the feet oftentimes, because if you think about it, our longest blood vessels in the body are the ones that reach our toes, right? So those end organs are affected, and the eyeball is just one of those end organs. And so that's really the most simplistic way of thinking of diabetes. Mm-hmm. It's damage to those blood vessels. And as a result, when an organ doesn't get blood or oxygenation, there's necrosis. There's a sort of cell death that occurs. And as a result of that, there's all kinds of changes that the body tries to go through to try to to reverse that and fix it on its own. Also, oftentimes those changes can actually do more damage than the process itself. Mm-hmm. And in either case, in the eye, we tend to lose vision if we don't treat the diabetic retinopathy. Mm-hmm.
So as you just mentioned, you're able to see this developing before a person has any symptoms of it?
Exactly. So there are many stages of diabetic retinopathy. And again, when we talk about diabetic eye disease, that's the primary concern is the issues that occur in the retina. The retina, again, we've talked about it on previous episodes, but the retina is like the film in the camera. So if you think about the eyeball as a camera, you've got the lens in the front, you've got the retina in the back, just like in the camera, in the old school camera anyway, we have a lens in the front, we have film in the back, and if the film isn't working, is warped or in some way, you're not getting a good picture. And so same with the retina. So if you start having cell death and sometimes some changes that occur, inflammatory changes, sometimes swelling, new blood vessels that are coming in and causing damage to the eye, and that can really sort of warp the picture, if you will, or change the architecture of the retina, of that nerve lining in the eye that allows us to see. And it can really distort our vision and oftentimes and sometimes cause blindness if we let it go. In either case, it's so much easier to treat things earlier rather than later. And so if we think about, again, there's many stages of diabetes, we'd like to catch everyone's diabetic retinopathy in the mildest of stages. And then we can make lifestyle changes, sometimes give medicines that can prevent and sometimes reverse those changes.
Mm-hmm. If a person persisted with this without getting some treatment, they would begin to see a degradation of their vision over time.
Right. That's the likely scenario that we worry about.
Yeah.
But again, you know, we know a lot of smokers out there that live long lives, you know, and it's a little bit of a risk you're taking. But there are those very lucky diabetics that probably should go to Vegas at some point, because there's some lucky diabetics that sure have high blood sugar and don't lose vision. But honestly, it's a rarity. If your blood sugar is really high for years and it's uncontrolled, typically you're going to see some changes, negative changes in the eye.
Yeah. Diabetes seems to be a disease that affects different people in different parts of their body. Some people have the lower extremity problems and the swelling and, like you say, the necrosis that starts to happen. And then for others, it's a different set of symptoms.
True, but most of the time, honestly, it's happening simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So that's why the window that I'm seeing in the eye is a snapshot of not just what's happening in the eye, but most of the time what's happening in the kidney and what's happening in the peripheral nerve. So if you're a diabetic and you can't feel your toes, chances are there's something going on in your eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah. You know, when we're talking about these, the physiology of the eye, and you compare it to a camera, am I remembering history correctly? Did the camera that we saw developed in the 1800s, was that the result of people dissecting human eyeballs and figuring out how vision worked?
You know, that's a great question. I would assume so.
Yeah.
You know, I have not really studied that history of cameras, mm-hmm. although I remember looking through my dad's old camera collections, and they do look remarkably similar to the eyeball. And so I'm sure that when the inventors looked at the aperture of the camera, and they probably created that looking at what happens with the pupil, mm-hmm. you know, and the iris inside the eyeball. And mm-hmm. when we go outside at night, the pupil is a little larger, so to let more light in. When we go out in the bright sunlight, the pupil gets smaller so that, you know, we don't get too much light and sort of overexpose the picture that's getting on our retina. So great point, yeah.
Right. Like somebody had to, you know, sort of that, when you think about things, the curiosity factor of the human being.
Sure.
One of my favorites is, imagine the very first person who ate an oyster. You know, they had an idea, this might be good, you know, and then there's someone else who was thinking like, how is it that we can see things? And they became curious enough to study that and then say, I think I can replicate this process with a machine.
Sure.
Isn't that imagine that. And I also like to imagine the fact that there are things happening right now that are that revolutionary, really, but we're just not aware of it because it's somebody studying, working hard by themselves.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's definitely an evolution of everything, I think, you know, forever. For every one person that eats an oyster and has a good experience, there's probably nine more of those cavemen that were eating something and didn't have such a good experience.
Don't listen to Og. He's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Very good. So diabetic retinopathy, it's not something you would need to be concerned about unless you've been diagnosed with diabetes, or if you're borderline or you have a history in your family and you're not diagnosed yet?
Right. So most of the time when when people ask me, how often should I get an eye exam? My eyes are fine. I have eagle vision. I'm doing great. No issues at all, which is actually a lot of the population out there. I say, maybe every 3 years. And so that's what the person without diabetes or without any other eye problems, about every 3 years. If you have something like diabetes, if you have a systemic disorder that can affect the eyes like diabetes, for sure once a year, no matter what. And that's if nothing is going on with your eyes, if you have no eye problems at all, once a year. By getting that once a year eye exam where we're typically dilating the eyes and looking at the retina and looking at those that nerve layer functioning in life, we can really, like I say, prevent the changes. If you then, if an eye doctor at some point says you have diabetic retinopathy or if you have an issue, then, of course, it typically becomes more frequent exams that are necessary because these changes can happen in months, not years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of the things we've talked about, macular degeneration or cataracts, have age connections to them. Does this have an age connection? Can you get this problem at any age with diabetes?
Well, it's a great question. So it is a direct relationship to uncontrolled blood sugar. So we have two major classes of diabetics, and there are those that are insulin dependent and those that are not insulin dependent. Now, typically, and it's not an absolute, but typically when you have a diabetic that is diagnosed at a younger age, and there's plenty of diabetics in their 20s, 30s diagnosed, typically they are insulin dependent, meaning they need to actually take insulin to control their blood sugar. And it's more of an issue. It's a congenital issue. It's an issue with the way those islet cells in your pancreas are helping control that blood sugar. So there's one class of younger patients with diabetes. By and large, the bigger population of diabetics are going to be your older patients that were diagnosed a little later in age. Those are the non-insulin dependent, typically either controlled by diet, controlled by maybe a medication like metformin. That's probably the most common one we see out there. And there's a bunch of other classes of diabetes medicines, blood sugar lowering medicines. So by and large, the population is older. But we see it at all ages, and the bottom line is, unfortunately, many people develop diabetes as they get older because of, in a sense, an abuse of all those good things we have out there. If you're just eating a lot of those things that spike our blood sugar over time, it's gonna tax your insulin producing cells, and so it is. It's definitely something we see later in life, mm-hmm. a little bit more than earlier.
All right. So as you've heard, if you are diabetic, you should be getting your eyes examined at least once a year, 3 years interval for healthy people, non-diabetic people. An eye exam is something that you can do at your office.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more about how to contact you, where you are, and all the stuff you provide.
Right. So we are right in the medical corridor in Napa, right near the Queen of the Valley Medical Center. The telephone number is 256-5000, pretty easy to reach us. Our website is simoneyesmd.com. Definitely give us a call. We can get you in right away. If you have the diagnosis of diabetes, we'll get you in quickly. If you don't have the diagnosis of diabetes, we'll also get you in quickly. We'll make sure to get you a good eye exam.
And in conclusion, Dr. Simon says,
Get your routine eye exams. It's important.
All right. Thanks for being here again today.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa. 1440 AM at KVON.com.